If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone, tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Not his fault, he's just trying not to lose his job.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us wherever you consume your podcasting content. On Apple, Audioboom, or as always on the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com. We've really got the country covered for you today, and I'm not kidding. It's going to be a great episode. I know this beforehand. I can feel it in my bones. I'm Mitch Lawrence. My bones are in Myrtle Beach. Darren Bunch holding down Bakersfield, California, which in the case of Bakersfield doesn't really take that much. Chris McEwen living it up in Chi-Town, Chicago. And a very special guest with us today, Matt Cardis. Better known until today, because now Matt Cardis is going to be the name on everybody's lips. He is the force behind Golf in Your State on Instagram. So though he's based in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, he just might be anywhere. In today's case, he's in Utah. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And he's about to hop in the Cardis Mobile and drive to California. We will find out why. Are we in for some fun or what, Darren?
Oh, man. Always love talking to Matt. Matt's a friend. Matt and I have we've played a little golf together. We've drank a few beverages together. We've shot some photography together over the years. And so it's going to be good to have him on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah, cool. And can't wait to find out about his plans, what's coming up, a little bit about his past, all kinds of stuff. One of the most interesting people in the game. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram, Darren at Golf Getaways, Chris at Chris McEwen on Twitter and Instagram. And of course, his great golf origin stories, that range life, and I don't know, 400 other projects he's working on. You got to keep your eyes open. And also a reminder, if you weren't with us for our last podcast, to check out what's coming up, the exciting, really exciting news we had about Golf Newsnet Radio, which our esteemed partner Ryan Balogi has created in partnership with the far-reaching, all-encompassing platform that is iHeartRadio, 24/7 all golf, all the time channel, which in addition to us here at Talking Golf Getaways, and Chris with his golf origin stories, driving range heroes, and God knows what other shows he'll have in store. We're going to have a treasure trove of voices of all different kinds, some familiar, some new, some bold, all in love with the game as we are. So look for some sneaks in November sometime and the full bore Golf Newsnet Radio once we enter 2022. Darren, I couldn't be more excited about this. Every day, at some point during the day, I think about it, and I'm just jacked.
There's going to be so much going on, and I think one of the interesting things about the channel is going to be, you know, there's going to be a certain amount of live programming, and that is going to give people like me and you and Chris the opportunity to be quote-unquote experts. You know, we may pop up on all kinds of shows talking about all kinds of things that people who just listen to golf, you know, Golf Getaways, Talking Golf Getaways, don't even know that we know about.
That's
so
true.
You know, you never know where we're going to pop up and what you're going to hear. And I think it's just one of those things that's going to be super fun for us to work on and a project that we're all really excited about.
Yep. All right. Let's go 2022.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to Matt Cardis, who, as I said, you can find at Golf in Your State on Instagram, where you can join about 30,000 give or take followers as we follow one of the most interesting and fun golf and travel humans on the planet. Or you can find him on his great website, golfinyourstate.com. I first became aware of Matt, as so many of us did and still do, on Instagram. And I started to see all kinds of really unique, wonderful posts and stories a few years ago from this guy who just seemed to be having more fun following a passionate golf dream than almost anyone I had ever seen. Images, words, truly different, really different. And a great sense of adventure, fun, deep thought. I was hooked, literally, from the first time I started following him. And we all, right now, are about to find out how a couple decades behind the lens of a camera and experience in advertising led Matt to a path that found him becoming a golf nomad, air quotes, traveling more than, I don't know what it is now. At last count, it was 130,000, 140,000 miles. We'll get an exact count shortly. Starting off 5 years ago with a car. And if you go to the Instagram site, because he just had an anniversary, and there's a picture of him 5 years ago, a car rigged with some kind of portable bed on its roof. Amazing. That has now morphed into one of the coolest homes on wheels that you will ever see. Interacting as he goes with thousands of golfers across the country and bringing us along for the literal and figurative ride. He's thrown in some unbelievable charity work along the way with his golf wall project, some new things he's thinking about, raising money for creative initiatives and communities, helping courses, people in need. He is like a modern day Pied Piper of golf. He just goes around and collects people. We are catching up with Matt from, as I said, he's currently in Utah. And catching up with Matt is a trick in itself. I was thinking about it. It's like trying to pin down Usain Bolt in the middle of a 100-meter dash. That's the only way I can think of it. You got to grab him when you can. Somehow we pulled it off. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways. We are thrilled you're here, Usain Cardus.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for having me on. That was quite the introduction, Mitch. I don't like humbled, honestly.
Hey, man. Meant every word of it, really did. And I don't want to infringe on Chris's great golf origin stories template, but I will. Just because I can on
I'll
this
allow
show.
It. I'll allow
okay, allow it. The judges ruled. just give us a shortish background on how it's fascinating to me. The love of photography that you had and golf, obviously, prompted you to take to the road and create one of the strongest brands in the name of good anywhere.
You know, it really goes back to my hometown of Jackson, Wyoming. You know, at the heart of it all, I'm an outdoorsman. I love the outdoors. You know, you name it, I do it. Big snowboarder, mountain biker, fly fisherman. You know, it was a culmination of a number of different things that led to this. But my background in photography was landscape and wildlife photography. And through my love of golf, I kind of saw a correlation between those two. And as I progressed in my professional career, I was looking to do something in photography. I kind of wanted to take a step back from, you know, the cubicle life and advertising. And I was fortunate that I kind of saw this correlation and, you know, built my portfolio in golf and kind of created, you know, a story around my lifestyle in the game and, you know, a different way to look at golf travel. And, you know, I'm here 5 years later, sitting in my van right now, looking at everything on the walls. And it's a testament to hard work and, you know, pursuit of a dream, right? I had an idea. And when I started this, I didn't know anybody in golf, not one single person. And I've been
You're
able
kidding.
To.
You're kidding.
No. I mean, I played the game, but I didn't know anybody in the industry. I didn't have that right. person. You know, when I went to my first PGA show, I didn't have that person that was like, you know, can I, you know, will you show me the way? It was more, I walked into the Orange County Convention Center being like, wow, I have a whole industry in front of me. Like, what, like, where do I want to go? Right. Like, I had selected a handful of brands that I just loved. And, you know, I walked into their booths and started building relationships right then and there. And, you know, it's how I became friends with the guys from Jones was that very first, PGA show. And here I am 5 years later with having Adidas and electric sunglasses and Callaway on the side of the van. It's pretty amazing.
Can you just turn around right now? Because I know what the inside of that van looks like, but for people who haven't checked you out on Instagram yet, just give us a few of the things that you have decorating your walls.
You know, I've turned the van into, I like to call it the traveling golf art installation, right? It's a collection of things from my travels and things that people have given me in my travels. Random stuff. I mean, I have a dollar bill that I won from a golf match from a very well-known person's uncle.
Wait a minute. You're just going to say a very well-known person's uncle?
It's all subjective. I want to golf. I have quite a few. What I like to do is if I play a match with somebody and I beat them, I like to have them sign the scorecard, and then I put the scorecard on the wall of the van, so it'll always remind me of that match that I won against that person. You know, I got artwork. I have drawings from Dave Basden in here. I have photography from Golf Ball Gallery. I have tons of drawings that people have submitted to me. I have flags from a lot of my favorite places that I've been to. I have stickers from people that I've met up with I have a whole sticker wall of people that I've met up with on the road. You know, what's important to me is everything that comes into the van happens at that point in time, right? The sticker wall, for example, it has to be that person placing the sticker, right? It can't be, you know, someone sending me stuff and then me putting it on the wall, right? Because then it doesn't hold the same, it's a memory wall. As I look at this, I can be like, they placed this there. They, you know, this happened at this point in time with this person, and it's very specific.
Do you have any of your own photographs on the wall?
Nope. Well,
you know you, and you are with you.
I have variations. There's a painting my sister actually, one of my good friends, best friends from high school, shot a photo of me standing on a bluff in Long Island, New York with my camera way back in the day. And my sister actually had a painting done of that photo, which I thought was pretty rad.
That's cool.
Yeah. None of my actual...
You have a jacket as well, don't you, that's all golf flags?
Yeah, so my patch coat, basically what I did was I deconstructed golf flags. It's all my favorite places in the world. It's a collection of golf flags from all my favorite places. And again, it's a memory. It's a memory. As I look at it, I look at the patches and I can remember the experiences that I've had there and why it's special and why it's on the coat. And yeah, it's probably my prized possession. If you had to ask me, like, out of everything, even more so than the van, I would say the patch coat is my number one.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the van, you have people sign the outside of the van. Does that go through cycles? It seems like I've seen you cleaning off parts of it at times, and then you have more people, or... Like when I see you in a couple of weeks at Rams Hill, is my signature from the last time I saw you still going to be on the van?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So
wipe it off. Wipe it off, Matt.
So the signature back in 2019 when I was traveling with the Golf Wall Project, you had mentioned that in the intro. Basically, what I was doing was traveling the country, bringing groups of golfers together to give back to the communities that I visited. And part of the community service was that they got to sign the side of the van. So you volunteer to come pick up trash. I create an experience around the van and what we're doing. And part of that was, you know, having the group sign the van when we were all done with the whole thing. So since it kind of, you know, COVID really consumed the Golf Wall Project, obviously I couldn't be traveling the country asking people to pick up trash during a worldwide pandemic. Since then, I've kind of, you know, it was very, at the time, just like the sticker wall and everything else in here, I was very particular about the side of the van because it was important to me. Everyone that was participating in this project that, you know, meant so much to me got to sign the side of the van so that they got to travel with me throughout the project. That was kind of the premise of it. And that, hence the golf wall. And then, you know, it kind of morphed with that ending. It was more about trying to get everybody that I met up with to sign it. You know, I use a very specific pen to sign the side of the van. And the reason for that is it's a paint pen because, you know, you're signing on a piece of vinyl. And, you know, it was intentional from the beginning because every golfer's got a Sharpie in their bag, right? And I knew that golfers would just come up and sign it in Sharpie. And again, I wanted it to all be people that participate in the community service. So You know, over time, people have written on it in a number of different pens, and some of them don't adhere to the vinyl at all. It's like somebody signed in a sharp, in a highlighter the other day, like highlighter stays on the surface. So when it rains, it just smears everything. So like when people sign in those types of pens, I have to clean it off or it's going to, you know, jeopardize things that were meant to be there. Sharpies, you know, everyone signs it in Sharpie, and Sharpies just disappear over time. I used to be, you know, I used to cross them out and things like that just because, you know, it, me being me. But they disappear over time. So now I've just kind of, it's more like free reign at this point. I just let anyone do whatever they want to do.
Did you say that every golfer has a Sharpie in their bag?
I mean, most do, right?
Sure.
Do you, Darren?
Absolutely.
How do you mark
Chris? Chris?
I have two Sharpies because I always like to have a backup Sharpie.
Wow.
Like if, and if I'm playing poorly with one Sharpie and I lose a ball, I'll switch Sharpies.
Wow. You guys are a lot sicker than I thought you were. This is interesting. I mark balls at home before I leave. I mark balls at home before I leave. All right, this is a whole other podcast of weird things that golfers do.
Yes, but that's the best thing Chris has ever said on the podcast right there. I mean, that just shows the depths of what we do as golfers to overcome superstitions.
To be fair, like I'm as a former musician, you learn to have two of everything on hand. So, you know, why not Sharpies now that I'm a golfer?
Right.
Nice.
Good idea. Darren, as Hickory players, maybe we should have two of every club in the bag.
I almost do, it seems like.
When one shaft breaks, we just pull out another.
Feels like I've got 20 in there right now.
Yeah. So. All right.
All right, Matt, let's follow up on this a little bit because I want to talk to you a little bit about the photography.
Yeah.
And as you know, I work with a lot of different photographers now, you know, for my role at Rams Hill. And when I was up working on the project in Oregon and some of the other things that I've done, I kind of separate them into two groups. You've got the guys who are just about the glamour photography. Brian Orr, who legally we have to say golf photographer extraordinaire. Everybody has to drink. Channing Benjamin, Evan Schiller, these guys who just are trying to capture the golf course the way it is. And then we've got the people who are more experience-based, and not just experience, but trying to find the details of the experience. And obviously you're top of the class in that. Jeff Marsh is there. Christian Hafer is there. What I'm fascinated by, and we're going to talk more about Rams Hill and you staying at Rams Hill, but I've spent a lot of time at Rams Hill shooting photography. And you've spent a lot of time at Rams Hill shooting photography. And it never fails that I look at stuff that you shoot and I think to myself, I never, ever thought to shoot it that way or to shoot that thing or to come at it from that perspective. Just talk some about how your mind works in trying to capture the golf world, I guess it is, that surrounds you wherever you are.
I love it. you know, it's a great question. There's a lot of different styles of photography, right? And for me, it's always been about the soul. I want to find the heart and soul of the place. And, you know, sometimes you got to peel back the layers in order to find that. And a place like Rams Hill, it happened for me, it happens with time, right? It's, you can go to a property, be there for 24 hours, go snap some great photos of it. But at the same time, like when you spend time in a place, it allows you to like really capture the soul of it. And, you know, it's about, there's so many things that I'm looking for. It's hard to pinpoint and be like, this is what I do, right? Because as I'm playing, exploring, as I'm going about my day, I'm seeing things all over that place. And, you know, it might take me 7 days to kind of capture that one specific thing the way I'm trying to, but, you know, it's it's a, how do I even explain it? It's, you know, it's, I don't even, a place like Rams presents so many opportunities, right? It's about how you see it. And that's probably the best way to put it is, you know, I feel like I've had a very different experience there than most. And it allowed me the opportunity to kind of peel it back and really find like what the Borrego Desert experience is all about. And I as I go through my travels, it's everywhere that I go, I'm trying to like really find the essence of the place. Does that make sense? Am I even making sense?
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
You're talking about patience too. 100%. About not wanting a quick hit. You're just, you've got to be willing to let it come to you in a way.
Definitely. I mean, it's about soaking it in. You know, I go back to kind of pandemic and spending 45 days out at Pinehurst, right? I shot the entire portfolio of Pinehurst in, you know, 12 days. And as I'm sitting on that course, it's, you know, once I feel connected to the place, then all of a sudden I start, you know, really capturing what I want to about it. It's soul.
Yeah.
You know, I like to feel that I'm connecting to a place on more than just like a photography level. It's more about the connection to a true connection to it. And when I find that, that's when I'm creating imagery that, you know, I'm passionate about and that I love. And, you know, it's more than just snapping a photo.
And it's also more about than just the place or even the people. And I know you get close to the people who make up the place of wherever you are. But I mean, you even make friends with the wildlife. You know, coyotes and roadrunners that you almost know by name at Rams Hill.
You know, that's the biggest testament to, you know, what I was trying to explain there, right? Like I could photograph that coyote or, you know, through time, it's trusting me and getting closer and closer and closer. And then, you know, then I capture the photo. So like people don't really see that in an image, but you know, for me, there's a story behind it and it took time to make it. And, you know, the relationship was developed.
Yeah.
How cool.
So speaking of that, let's ask about one of the more iconic things you've ever done, or I guess pieces of content you've put together. And that's got to be swimming in the flooded pond at Sweetens Cove. Tell me how that video came to be. What possessed you to not only to just go for a dip, but also to think, oh, well, I need to put the drone in the air and make sure I capture this as well.
It was actually Rob Collins' idea.
All right, good for Rob.
You know, I was again, pandemic, beginning of pandemic. I was, quarantined out at Sweetens Cove for 17 days.
That's terrible. That is terrible.
Completely shut for 9 days due to flooding. And it was pretty warm and I was sitting in the parking lot hanging out with Rob, just, you know, shooting the shit as we always do. And, I mentioned to him, I was like, is there somewhere in the river that I can go swimming? He's like, why don't you just go swimming in the... And I thought he was joking. And I was like, really? He's like, better yet, why don't you go swim through the swale on 8? I was like, really? And as soon as I had go ahead from the boss, it was game on. I think it happened that day. I think I made it happen that day, if I'm not mistaken.
How deep was it?
Wasn't that deep. You know, there was parts that I was touching the grass, you know, swimming through the actual swale. I was like a little nervous just because it had been underwater and I didn't want to touch the grass at all. Like, you know, on the fringe of the green, it wasn't that deep. And on the fringe of the green, I could feel it under my feet. And so I was very cautious, like as I went through it, not to touch it. Yeah, it was wild, man. It was a really wild experience, like having that place 100% all to myself. like not knowing like what the future is. There was so many things like up in the air at that point. It was an interesting time for sure.
Can we just follow up quickly on that theme? Because you're a worldwide golf traveler, and then you have a worldwide pandemic, which is essentially a big stop sign that says not now. Just tell us about a couple of the other things besides swimming in swells. That's a good book title, by the way. just tell us a couple of the other things that you were able to kind of do that you might not have done if it weren't for the pandemic.
I mean, great question. Like, what do you do as a full-time van lifer during a worldwide pandemic? And it was a challenging time. I was like, I immediately came up with two options. I was like, I can either go live with a friend or family member in their driveway, which to me just sounded like I'd be a burden on somebody else. Or I can reach out to go camp somewhere isolated. And I reached out to a bunch of golf courses that, you know, I had strong relationships with. I ended up spending 8 days at Tobacco Road, 17 days at Sweetens Cove, 45 days at Pinehurst, 2 weeks in the Outer Banks, 2 weeks in Hilton Head, and then 32 days out at Rams Hill, I think, last year. So, you know, it was it was interesting because, you know, I was camping at these places and present, but at the same time, you know, trying to maintain my space and my distance. And, you know, typically the van is more of like a studio / clubhouse for everyone I'm meeting up with on the road. Then all of a sudden here it is pandemic and I'm still like out and about, but I'm hunkering down in the woods at Tobacco Road. Right. So I'm at Tobacco Road, accessible and everything else. But, you know, the van is hunkered down in the woods that I'm not parking in the parking lot and talking like not, it's not exposed like it typically would have been. Right. Yeah. I mean, the experiences were so many great things happened. it was pretty fantastic being.
There's a book in there somewhere. Well, yeah. I mean, obviously there's a book in all of this.
I realized pretty early on that I had a unique story there. And it's kind of where it led to my video content was the fact that I realized that, you know, I'm the only one that's still kind of out there and about during this time doing what I'm doing. And,
right.
You know, I've been thinking about it a lot recently in the way that I travel. And, you know, there's some people trying to do it, but there's nobody doing it full time like I am. Mm-hmm. And it's it led me to realize that I had a pretty unique story. And yeah, here I am.
No, it's cool. You're going to be 75 one day. And I just hope you're writing all this down. I mean, you've got pictures and posts, which helps.
I have a lot of content, you know.
Yeah.
Originally, one of the things that makes me saddest in this whole thing was when I first started this, I had a very, very, very detailed journal. And unfortunately, my laptop bag got stolen and it was in there.
No.
It broke my heart at the time, but at the same time, it led me to, you know, a conversation with a friend of mine in the industry led me to really understanding Instagram stories and how I could use that as more of a documentary of my daily travels. So Instagram stories kind of took over what I was writing in my journal. Instead of me writing it, it was like, okay, well, what am I doing now throughout my day? Because it's one of the unique things about what I do is I am constantly on the move. So you have an original story every single day relating to golf travel. So in one way, I'm thankful because it led to me, you know, using Instagram in a better way than I had been previously. And on the other side of it, if that hadn't got taken, would I still be keeping a very detailed journal to today? Very possible.
Interesting.
All right. Let's move. We've talked about Rams Hill. I want to get to it. We'll dive into it. Listeners are familiar with it, thanks to Darren and all the work he's done. Before we talk about your upcoming plans, I want to find out something because we talk about this all the time. We go to places, we play, we tend to talk about a place as if other people know kind of the details of what we're talking about. So for the people who haven't been to Rams Hill, like me, I want to find out what your first impression, if you can remember this, I'm asking you to go back. Your first impression of Rams Hill was the first time you saw it, the first time you played it. Just give us a sense, reel us into it, if you would, a little bit.
Well, the first time I saw it was not the first time I played it. I have a really interesting story with how I found Rams Hill. Anza Borrego is known for its wildflower bloom. And my background in landscape photography, I had known about this place for a very, very long time, but had never had the chance to see it. So I actually went out there to scout it for the wildflower bloom. I was there, I don't even remember exactly what the year was, but I went out there to scout the desert for the wildflower bloom. And while I was out there, I just randomly searched golf courses and saw Rams Hill pop up. And I had obviously heard the name. I had seen some photos of it. And I was like, man, like, it's pretty close to here. Like, I got to go check it out. So I actually drove to property the first time, with no intention of playing golf. I must have had my clubs with me, but I had no intention of playing golf. I just went there and, I was going to check out the desert. And, it immediately, there's something very special about the place, not only Rams Hill itself, but Borrego Springs as a whole there's nothing else like it. It's a absolutely fantastic valley. There's a lot to do. It reminds me of old school Palm Springs, right? Like, I like the ruggedness of it. It's a very, it's got that adventurous spirit to it, which I absolutely love. It's an outdoorsman's paradise in the desert. That's the way I look at it.
And what about the first time you actually played the golf course? Darren.
Well, let me jump in because I was going to say that when he discovered it, we've talked about this on the podcast before, that Rams Hill existed for a long time. Then somebody came in and they brought Tom Fazio in and we're going to make it a private club. And then that private club went under. The golf course sat there for 3 years. Nobody played it. It basically went back to the desert. Matt discovered it not long after the current owners kind of started reviving it. Tim Jackson from Jackson Conn came out and helped, and they kind of restored it to Tom Fazio's original vision and even improved on it some, did some things. And so that's when, that's where Matt enters this story in stumbling across it, during the wildflower, the super bloom, as they call it out there. And then his story takes off from there to the point where he is now. But go ahead. Yeah. The first time you played it, Matt, what did you think about the golf course?
Man, I was blown away. After seeing it that first time I immediately started thinking, how can I get people out here? And I decided, I had come up with this idea for my Highway Golf Series event, which basically was, another thing that I was thinking about taking nationwide, and it's kind of been put on the back burner since. But, I came up with this really cool kind of event based on remote locations. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, this is the place. This is where I have to have this first one. And, I came out the first time just to play the course before the group got out there. And I immediately could see how special it was. It was, it's super, as far as the golf course is concerned itself. I mean, the scenery is unmatched. You can't beat it. It's absolutely fantastic. Playability of the course, it's just so much fun to play. I mean, last year I was there for over 30 days. I played almost every day and I never got bored of it. And to me, that says a lot about a golf course because, as you go through time and you're playing the same place over and over and over again, it makes it hard to, continue to have fun. Right. which I thought was really cool about it. I mean, it says a lot about the design itself. And I find that I either have really good days out there or really bad. It's never like an average day at Rams Hill. It's either one or the other as far as my golf game's concerned.
Wait, isn't that all of golf? I don't want to take away from Rams Hill, but
you would
think that every day different?
A place for 4 weeks straight, like it would be like, okay, I consistently shoot 80 out here, right?
Right.
It's not like that. It's either I'm shooting 93 or I'm shooting 76. Like it just doesn't, I don't know.
I get it.
And I think it can do that. It does that because there is so much sneaky trouble and the greens themselves can, I think they're awesome and they're a lot of fun to putt, but they can also, you know, take a toll on your putter if it's not going well.
Then you add in Mother Nature on top of that. Like if the wind picks up out there, it's super, super hard. I actually really enjoy playing it in weather. I don't know why. Wind's always been, it's like my least favorite weather element to be in, but I love playing golf in it just because it makes you think so much more.
Yeah, definitely. Talk a little bit about the upcoming trip because you've done this now. This will be the second year in a row that you've spent a lot of time. I mean, you referenced it 32 days last year. And now you're going to do, you know, kind of replicate that. You stay in the house on the hill some, you stay in the van some and camp out, kind of create your own little, oasis out there in the, what we call the lost holes that I don't know that we've ever talked about them on the podcast before, but, just what are you expecting and maybe what new are you looking to do this year that over the course of the year, you've thought, oh, I wish I had done this last year.
First of all, I'm really, really excited. I can't tell you, like coming out of mud season in Jackson, I am ready to get out to the desert. This year it's going to be set up similar. I look at this as almost like a residency, right? I'm setting up shop in Borrego Springs for a month. And I'm going to try and get as many people out there as I can to experience it and, you know, fall in love with it. And, you know, I'm fortunate, like you mentioned, the abandoned golf holes out in the desert and there's the yacht club. I have access to kind of a unique golf experience out there that most don't get to experience. So, you know, a little bit of behind the scenes, what it's like to be a resident out in Rams Hill Golf Club. And, this year I'm going to do a little bit more off property as well. Go explore Borrego Springs a little bit more and showcase a little bit more of that kind of thing. Some hiking, maybe some biking, Sultan Sea, 4x4 and things along those lines. I'm going to be camping out in the desert a little bit more out in, last year, what I did, I was on property pretty much every day. I think I camped maybe two or three nights off property last year. And this year I'm thinking it's going to be more like 10 days or so, which should be interesting. You know, it'll showcase a different side of it. And I'm excited about it. Well, there's so much.
There's something very cool about you having the van parked down there. You know, and the random people, maybe people who don't even follow you, you know, who would be playing golf and would look down and see the van. And then they would come into the clubhouse and go, what's up with the van out there? You know, with all the graffiti scrawled on it. And, people, it just became almost a legend of the guy camping out there in the old holes, which I mentioned on the lost holes, you know, where from when the golf course originally was 27 holes, that nine, which we hope someday will become something new, was a perfect spot for you. And it's visible from a number of golf holes. So, you know, I think people just got a kick out of the unexpected of, you know, I'm playing golf and yeah, sure. There are homes in some spots at Rams Hill, but a a lot of the time you're just looking out on desert distance and the mountains and the whole thing. And then all of a sudden you come around the corner and you look out in the desert, and then there's this guy out there in his van, you know, just parked out there. And it's not like it's your everyday van. It's a van that you notice in a hurry when it's out there.
Well, I mean, this is a good point talking about, you know, I take my relationship there to an ambassador of the place, right? So right. Not only does that guest see the van there, but then they're also seeing me up at the clubhouse, you know, interacting with the staff and with the guests. And, you know, it takes on a true ambassadorship where I care about the place. I care about my time there, and I care about people's experience there. So whether they're a guest, I mean, the best testament to my experience last year is I show up, and on day one, a member homeowner complained about the van being in the desert. And, you know, here I go 4 weeks and I'm hosting, you know, cocktail parties with homeowners at the van in the desert, you know, like
right.
that's it truly coming to life right there. Right. The relationship is what's most important. And, you know, me spending time and getting to know these people and them getting to know me and what my intention is there. And, you know, a short conversation with me will tell anybody how much I love this place, right? So, you know, they see the van, then they come up to the clubhouse, we have a short conversation, and then, you know, I'm in their home 2 nights later for dinner, right? Like, that's what it's all about to me is, you know, again, truly connecting with the place and connecting with the people there and becoming part of the community.
I have to say something here, if I can. If for those of you listening, if you go to Matt's site on Instagram and scroll down, there's a video. There's a great video of what he and Darren are talking about in terms of being out in the desert with the van. And when you first got there, Matt, and you set up and you put your stuff, the van's there, and you put your little kind of semi tent up. And then it jumps at one point to you discovering a yardage marker from the old hole that's in the ground in the desert.
Yeah.
And you kind of unearthing it with your hand. And I mean, it's such a great video, it really does describe what a lot of what you're talking about becoming a part of the place.
Yeah, it totally does. I mean, you know, even more so, that very same sprinkler head's got a Golf in Your State sticker on it now. So I left my mark on it. So hopefully someday somebody comes across that and they're like, what the hell? You know, it's
this is great. Archaeologists. A couple hundred years from now, are going to be digging around in the desert, spring, and they're going to go, "Wow, what is this? Golf in your state?"
I think with you talking about the people too, one of the things that I love that you did last year, we all love Willie, the superintendent at Rams Hill. He's a great guy, and you joining the maintenance staff, you know, for however long it was, and just going out and being kind of part of that crew is such an interesting perspective, and Rams Hill prides itself on conditions, and they had some issues last year, you know, unexpected issues that they fought through. And this year the overseed looks fantastic, and Willie's doing a fantastic job with everything that he does. But being part of that crew and seeing it from that perspective, what was that like?
You know, Willie and I became really close during my time there. You know, I'm up every morning for sunrise. You know, I'm spending a lot of time with the maintenance staff alone just based on that. They're seeing me out on the course shooting photos every morning. You know, Willie and I, every time he saw me, he'd come over with a smile and, you know, asking how I'm doing. And we became friends. And, you know, what I featured in the video was, you know, me having... I went over to the maintenance barn for lunch one day and just hung out and, you know, had all the guys sign the side of the van. And, you know, I was spending as much as, you know, Willie's kind of the fixture there, you know, I was spending time with all of them. And it was, again, it's about that connection, right? Like, you know, I see the trickle down, right? I spend time with them and, you know, put a smile on their face, and they, you know, see how much I appreciate the grass that they're cutting. And then, you know, it makes them stoked on their job. And then, you know, maybe they, I don't want to say work harder that day, but, you know, maybe it makes their job better for however short a period of time. You know, for me, it's all about that trickle down, right? Like, it's all about stoke for the game. And, you know, a lot of those guys aren't golfers. And, you know, when they see someone like myself genuinely appreciating the work that they're doing, and, you know, Willie and I, we talked about all kinds of things, and, yeah, it's one of the things I care a lot about, right? You know, you'd be surprised how many supers I've become friends with. And it's about spending those moments with them where, you know, they're seeing how much I'm, you know, appreciating their work.
And Matt, just so you know, just to give you a little feedback, a lot of us who are so into the game the way all of us are, I won't say a dream, but I think there's a lot of us who would love to spend time with the maintenance guys and really be out there with them, even just for a couple of days, because we appreciate what they do every time we step onto a golf course. So you doing it and then showing it to us is really cool for us. Not just the maintenance guys, but it's really cool for us.
I think a lot of people, you know, don't have those opportunities, right? Like, how many people are out first light that, you know, even if they do see the maintenance staff, are they really interacting with them? Like, you know, I think the opportunity presents themselves quite frequently, right? But it's just a matter of, you know, taking the initiative to walk over that guy on a mower and stop him, you know, and not feeling weird about it. Right.
Yeah.
Cause you know, anytime that I go to photograph a course for the first time, or if I don't know any of the maintenance crew, you know, I am that guy that will be stopping them on the mowers, like, hey, like, you know, where's the super, and introducing myself to whoever that person is. And you never know. Especially the smaller the golf course and how leaner the staff, right? Like, the dude on the mower could be the super. And, you know, it's an important part of what I do because of the relationship and, you know, going about my business, I guess.
Cool. All right. Well, this is a great kind of tease for the month you're going to spend at Rams Hill. I can't wait to follow it. I mean, I talk to Darren all the time, but I really want your impressions. I'm tired of listening to Darren talk.
I mean, I don't know. Hang on, Mitch. You should have been there already, and now you have no.
I know.
I think this month might be the month. I'll give you a behind-the-scenes tour. Take you out to the yacht club.
See, Darren, you never offered that.
I was just thinking that same thing. It'd be perfect to put you on a plane, get you out there for a couple of days while Matt's there. That would be ideal.
Okay.
We might even invite Chris if I wasn't still so mad at him about Hawaii.
No, he's got to go to some wedding in Hawaii.
He'll tell us he's coming and then go to Hawaii. That'll be what Chris does.
That's the move. That's the move.
Yeah, but maybe he'll stop on his way. He'll have to land in San Diego first and then go over to Rams Hill. So, all right. So you got a month at Rams Hill, you lucky dog again, Matt. But let's move on to something as we kind of close this off. And we're going to look to you for this time of the year. As Joni Mitchell said, it's coming on Christmas. They're cutting down trees. And to put it in Game of Thrones terms, winter is coming. Did you guys just get chills? I did. For much of the country, people are starting to hunker. They're looking at hunkering down and going, man. So I want to find out if you would be so kind. Do you have any idea how many courses you've actually, I don't know if you measure it by played or been to, or do you have some idea?
No, lost track a long time ago.
No, you know, that's a good answer. That makes sense.
It's never been important to me how many courses or what the courses are, right?
Like, right.
You know,
I get it.
The top 100 and all those lists, like, to me, if I was trying to play those types of places, it would take away from, you know, I feel like I would have different motives in my travels than I do today, right? Because right now I just play the places as they come up, and you know, it's more organic than if I'm just trying to check things off of a list.
Makes total sense. I love that answer. All right, so let's look at the places you've been, the places you've played, and find out about some winter golf courses or destinations that you've come across that listeners can look to for a golf getaway. Kind of in the southern climb, someplace they can know that there's a decent chance of, you know, finding some really good experience for a few days as winter comes upon us.
You know, as I look at winter destinations, you really got three in my eyes, right? You got Florida, mm-hmm. you got Arizona, and you got Southern California. Those are going to be your best three within the United States. I feel like there's others that, depending on the day and conditions, could be good. But there's also Texas, for example. Parts of Texas are going to be great in the wintertime. Other parts, it still feels like winter there.
Right.
You know, the biggest surprise in all my travels, and, you know, people laugh at me every time I say this, but the panhandle of Florida is the biggest shocker of everywhere I've been. Destin, Florida, I feel like is a very, very overlooked destination. It's interesting. Like, I had this preconceived perception that it was going to be, you know, swampland and so forth. And when I got there, the beaches were like beautiful turquoise blue. You know, the sand is like nothing I've seen. it's just a really fantastic place. So, I mean, there's always Florida. You can go all over the state. You can find great golf everywhere. Arizona's been a place, you know, I've fell in love with it the past couple of years, just, you know, going out there for waste management and other things along those lines, like in the winter months. But, you know, traditionally it's been a destination I've stayed away from just based on price. You know, it was already a very popular golf. I felt like it was a place that didn't need me, right? It's already a very popular golf destination. Everybody knows the top names. They're all expensive. The demand's there already. So it's been kind of like I've stayed away from until recently, you know, going out there to work and so forth. But there are some fantastic finds out there. I mean, the weather's obviously great. You know, I think Southern California, a lot like Florida, is going to have a ton of variety. I mean, depending on the type of golf experience you're looking for, there's so many options out there. You know, we're talking a lot about Rams Hill, but you can also be on the coast. Weather's, you know, pretty reliable. That's what I always think about is weather, right? Like, you know, as I think about this question, Bandon's open in the wintertime, right? It's a way to go to Bandon for a more affordable price, but you're rolling the dice on weather. You know, there's a chance you get up there and be miserable, but, you know, you're still going to have this fantastic golf experience in rough weather. And for me, that's like what it's designed to be anyways, right? So you go to a place like Bandon, if it's not cold and raining and windy, like, that's not really Bandon. I've been there for both experiences, like where it's beautiful and sunny out and where it's really foul weather conditions. And I can tell you that the foul weather conditions are way more fun than it being beautiful.
And not much more, but memorable in a way that the others are. And we know that from experience, right, Darren?
We woke up to snow one morning, Matt, when we were going to run down to shoot some pictures at Pacific Gales, at the property that's going to eventually be Pacific Gales. And we walked out of the place we were renting and found snow on the ground one day. And at that same time, I think that was early February. And at that same time of year, I've been up there other times, you know, where people are playing in short sleeves. So you calling it the weather lottery is exactly correct. It's, you never know what you're going to get. And because of that, and because the pricing is better in the winter, Bandon is getting, you know, it's filling out those months now too. Like, they're selling out, you know, year round, because people are willing to take that gamble on the weather and the people who are price conscious are taking the better pricing and yeah, let's go do it. So no, it's a great point you make.
I hope you went and took those snow photos. You might be one of the only people that has that covered in snow.
We don't have them. It wasn't snowing at Bandon, it wasn't snowing at the resort, but it was snowing in Bandon and in the town, because we were staying in town near Bandon Crossings. And then it was snowing down in Port Orford at Pacific Gales. So I have a lot of good snow photography from down at Pacific Gales, if that ever opens.
Right on.
So Matt, I just want to ask you, and if not, no big deal, but were there any courses in particular that surprised you, either in Destin or in Arizona when you were just traveling, or in Southern California? I mean, that jump out and you go, wow, I really hadn't expected to have a good time here. I know that's a tough one.
Let's start with Florida, Old Corkscrew in Florida. You ever heard of that one?
No.
It's near Naples. Oh. It's north of Naples.
Old Corkscrew?
Old Corkscrew. It's at one point.
Just by the name, I love it.
At one point, it was ranked one of the hardest publics in the country, I think, behind Bethpage and I don't remember what the second, Torrey, maybe? But that was a little sleeper that I came across that's kind of in a popular area, but not, you know, so well known. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
You know, rewind 3 years ago, Rams. Arizona, some ones I found there I really loved. Gold Canyon, the dinosaur course. So Gold Canyon was fantastic. You know, I've explored Arizona a little bit more in recent times, and you know, there are some. I look at it like that as like a multi-tiered destination, right? Yeah, the very very expensive. You got kind of middle of the road expensive, and then you have less expensive. So you know, the courses there, even the less expensive ones, are still, you know, pretty pricey. But I've had some great times at a lot of the courses there. It's pretty interesting that, you know, most, again, going back to being Waste Management Week, a lot of times I'm out there with friends and, you know, I've said this before publicly, like for me, it typically doesn't have to do with the golf course. It has to do with the people that I'm with. And, you know, I can have just as much fun on a $20 muni as I can a $600 resort course.
We talk about that a lot on here, you know, that the price of the course isn't really what it's all about. There are certainly memorable golf courses. I want to ask you about I want to ask about two different places I know you've been that kind of fall into this. You can play them in the winter. I just spent a little bit of time at Reflection Bay, and I know last year you spent a stretch there. You know, talk about that property. That's another place that went through struggles like Rams Hill did. The golf course was actually closed. You know, but such an incredible setting there on Lake Las Vegas. The resorts are cool. You know, just talk about your brief life / vacation / working vacation that you did there in Las Vegas.
I absolutely loved my time at Reflection Bay. You know, I forgot that when I was mentioning my list of quarantine spots, Vegas was on there too. I spent 2 weeks there, December of last year. And, you know, it was a really unique experience in the fact that I was staying at the Westin there and I was the only guest. The only other people that were there was two football teams. So at the time, the Westin was the Raiders visiting team host hotel. So the day I checked in, it was the Rams were staying there. And then nice. San Jose State football team was there training for the Mountain West Championship. And they were there for a week. So literally it was myself and the San Jose State football team the entire time I was at the Westin. The Reflection Bay is really cool. I mean, it's got five holes right on Lake Las Vegas. You know, again, playability wise, the golf course is crazy fun. It was unique because it was like, it's a resort destination, but I was there with the homeowners, right? It was, you know, the majority of the people that I was seeing there were residents that played there every day. And, you know, me being, spending so much time getting to know the staff, and, you know, it was a really, really, really fun trip.
It's an interesting property too, because I think sometimes these, you know, certainly in the case of Rams Hill, you know, going under and coming back, and, you know, the rising up to what it's become has been a kind of a blessing in disguise, and Reflection Bay's that way in a weird way that, you know, when I was out there talking to the general manager, Eric Dutt, that the course was closed, and during the time it was closed, then the Bermuda just ran wild out there and just kept growing and growing and growing. And so when they opened it back up, now they've got this incredible Bermuda base. And in a time like right now, where, you know, a lot of courses are having supply chain issues, getting overseed and things like that, Reflection Bay doesn't even have to overseed anymore. They just run as a Bermuda golf course because the Bermuda is so good right now. And, you know, the average player who's coming in just cares that the course is well maintained. They're not all that hung up, I don't think, on grasses and whatnot. And when you figure in the conditions, the service level, the clubhouse there is fantastic. You know, the setting on the water, and then it's probably one of the more affordably priced high end courses in Las Vegas. It's really a package that you can't miss in a way when you look at it. And then, like you said, you stay at the Westin, you know, out there as well. As long as you're not a person who wants to be on the strip all the time, but you want to go get the Las Vegas experience, man, I can't recommend it highly enough. It's just a super fun place to be out there. And I think, as you said, really fun golf.
I completely agree. It's a very unique Vegas experience out there, like I've never had before, right? Like every time I've went to Vegas, it's always been on the strip in a casino. Like that's always been, you know, the traditional Vegas trip for me. So getting to explore something else and, you know, spending time out at Lake Las Vegas, I left there really thinking close enough, but far enough away, right? It's close enough that if you want to run into the strip for the night, you can do that and go do the party thing. You know, you're close enough, but you're far enough away. There's everything out there, right? What else? The grass, you know, talk about recognition. Like, you know, for them to recognize the playability of the golf course on the Bermuda, because I said the same thing to them. And, you know, we started talking about it, and, you know, they previously did used to overseed, and they're like, right, you know, playability wise. And I was like, I can see it 100%. It's just as fun now. And, you know, I almost prefer that, you know, thinking from your membership side, right? Like, you know, as conditions change throughout the year, it's still playable, but it's a different golf course because of the way that it plays and the way that it runs out during certain months of the year. And, you know, they were like, if you were in our position, what would you do? And I was like, I would leave it.
Yeah.
There's no way I've ever seen it. Like, dude, just keep it yours, right? Like, make it what you want it to be. And, you know, it seemed from the people, everybody that I talked to, they really, really enjoyed playing it in the winter months as much as in the summer. And I was like, you know, it makes a lot of sense just to, you know, stick with the Bermuda rather than reinventing the wheel, and, you know.
Yep. And if you wanted a really immersive golf experience, that's a good place to go too, because there was another golf course, the Falls, which I always had a good time playing, and you kind of see it right when you drive in the entrance to Lake Las Vegas. And they've taken the building that was the clubhouse over there, and they've turned that into a golf school. Craig Barlow, a former PGA player, and Eric, who runs the place, Eric Dutt, who I mentioned, you know, had a long time history with Butch Harmon at Rio Seco. So he knows how to do golf instruction and that whole experience as well. And so there's a lot happening out there. And I was blown away when I was there a couple months ago and was just absolutely blown away at what it's become and how they've come out of the issues that whole area had and turned it into something that is just such an incredible draw.
I mean, Lakeland, it's got to be booming right now, would be my guess, right? You know, yeah. As people are looking at, you know, trying to get out of the city and so forth. You know, it's the proximity to downtown Las Vegas is so good that I feel like it's got to be doing well out there. I mean, the practice facility that you mentioned, it's second to none. I didn't have the chance to really play out there too much, but I did go kind of check it out one day. And I mean, you talk about like an immersive golf experience. If you want to get out of, you know, the snow for a week, I can't think of necessarily a better place, right? Because you have everything of the city nightlife. You got, you know, a fantastic golf course in your backyard. The Westin's a fantastic resort. It's got everything right there. It's got it all.
Nice. Tell me one other place I know you've been to, you went through with the van, and we'll go to a place that nobody knows about. Everybody knows about Las Vegas. Nobody knows about Hobbs, New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
I believe you stopped at Rockwind Community Links, which a friend of mine, Jim Haley, who you know I'm working with on the Pacific Yields project, helped build the greens there. Andy Staples design. It's a truly a community links, and just what they have done there to create not only the golf course, but the little short course, the friendly people who run the clubhouse. Just tell me your experience about going to Hobbs, New Mexico.
I mean, I can really thank you for that one, Darren. I mean, back before we were even friends, you just lobbed me a DM when I was in New Mexico saying, you got to go here.
That's right. I did.
It was 100. I will give credit where credit is due. It was 100% you that put that on my radar. You know, most people would think I get lots of DMs of golfers suggesting places, right? And I take note of all of them.
Sure.
You know, it's one of those things that if someone like yourself is going to suggest a place, and you know me, so when you say that I'm going to love a place, I genuinely believe that I'm going to love it. And you didn't disappoint with Rockwind. Like, you know, I think, well, starting with the golf course. The golf course is absolutely fantastic. It's definitely wild for what it is. The greens there, the green complexes are definitely my favorite part of the course. It's just interesting to see, like, you know, what they've been able to do there. Because I really wish that I could see it in the original state, right? Like, because I can see what it's been made into, and it's absolutely fantastic. But I feel like it's still got its soul. It's still got its roots there somewhere. And I think it really starts with the guys in the shop, right? Like, you know, it's a true, what's the best way for
it's
me
a to true describe? It's a true muni, but in the friendliest of ways.
It's like the epitome of golf community to me, right? It's like the definition of golf community. The people that work in the shop are just so passionate about the game and so passionate about that place, and know that they have something so fantastic that nobody knows about. And, you know, they were really excited to see me as, like, you know, this traveling golf course photographer, to be like, how'd you end up here? Right? Like, we're so appreciative that you're here. Like, we know how great this place is, but, you know, we're just excited you found us. Right. And, you know, to me, those are the places that are special, because you have those driving forces behind it that are so passionate about it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm glad you made it down there. And I think as you were going through there, I had forgotten to tell you about Black Mesa in New Mexico, which is my other passion project course that I want everybody and their brother to go play. So next time you're going through New Mexico, make sure you hit Black Mesa as well. But, you know, wrapping up, we can't thank you enough. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, obviously, out at Rams Hill. Rams Hill opens November 5th. I didn't put my shameless plug in today in the episode. And you're going to be there all the way through the Ramator, which is our individual stroke play signature event that we've got all kinds of cool stuff planned for. And so that'll be December 4th and 5th. So You know, you're going to be plenty of golf to be played at Rams Hill. And I can't wait to have you back out there.
Man, I'm so excited. I'm going to be there for opening day for over a month. You know, you mentioned the Ramature. The Ramature is, I don't play in a lot of competitive stroke play events. Not my forte, right? But this one's a little bit different. You know, with Rams's proximity to LA and San Diego, I mean, huge golfing populations, it brings out like a wide variety of characters to this one. So, you know, as much as it's a competitive stroke play event, it's also a lot of fun, right? Like everyone's coming out there to just enjoy it, enjoy the experience. A couple days out in Borrego, 2 days of golf. Like it's definitely one of the more fun events I've attended in the past, and I look forward to being back this year.
And we've even amped it up even more this year. Wheat and Water out in La Jolla is going to come and make pizzas on the golf course for participants. We got some cool swag from Seamus Golf. You know, you're my friend, Will Mayo, who is the business director at Rams Hill, does a fantastic job with these events now. And we just keep trying to raise the bar every year with each of them, with this one and the Clash, which happens as a two-man team event, or two-person team event that happens in May. We're just trying to make them better every year. And so I think even you, from playing last year's to this year's, you'll see something that is another level of just fun. And that, because that's what we're shooting for. Only one guy can win, but everybody can have a blast.
Yeah.
I think that should be the marketing logo. Only one person can win, but everybody can have a blast.
Yeah. And, you know, as it came out of my mouth, I thought, why have I not put that on social media yet?
Yeah. Well, now you will.
Immediately went to me posting a 9 on hole number 1 last year.
Well, it's a good way to ensure that you take away the first part and just make sure you focus on the second.
Man, it was the 28th hole of a 36 hole event, and I was still in the running until that hole. It was.
Thought it was your actual first hole.
No, it was. It was my 28th hole of a 36 hole event. And I was still in contention until that. And yeah.
But you did win. And, you did win a closest to the pin, didn't you?
I think so. I think so. I gave away the prize.
I think so.
Yeah, I did. I vividly remember I did. Yes.
All right. Well, this has been a blast, as we all knew it would. Can't thank you enough for taking some time as you prepare for your journey. And to share with us so much about all the journeys you've already had and the ones you're looking forward to, man. It's so great to follow you. It's the only way I can put it. You're a light in the golf world. Right. You really are.
Yeah, Mitch, I really do. I really do.
Remember, you can find Matt at Golf in Your State on Instagram, his website, golfinyourstate.com, and be on the lookout for some more jealousy-inducing posts during his upcoming time at Rams Hill. You know, before I let Matt go, Darren, I'm really surprised when you guys are talking about Lake Las Vegas.
Yes.
That you didn't bring up the most epic of match play matches that you and I shared at Lake Las Vegas. I can't believe you forgot that.
Matt, when I first started playing Hickories, because of Mitch, we played at, we didn't play at Reflection Bay. We played across at South Shore on the other side there. And, Mitch won an epic match against me, which I will never ever be able to live down, probably for the rest of my life. So I can't believe I didn't see that coming.
When we started. How could you not? You know me. How could you not? I live for these moments. Anyway, thank you, Matt, a million. And hopefully I will make the trip out while you're at Rams Hill. I really would love to do that. I know, Chris, come on, let's do it. Let's go.
I'm in, man. Let me know when.
Okay. All right. Let's go. There you go. We're on our way. Darren, we want to thank the listeners always.
Yes. We can't do it without them. They can follow us at Golf Trip Experts on all the different media or mediae, however you say the plural of that. They can follow us at golftripx.com and go check out all of our content. And of course, don't forget Golf News Net Radio coming to iHeartRadio and the platform with a little bit of a tease coming around Thanksgiving. Possibly you might hear a little bit of content about Bryson and the other guy who's going to be playing. And and then 2022, we will have all the content you could possibly want on Golf News Net Radio.
Cool. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you, man, as always.
You bet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the incredibly verbose Chris McKeon. All right. Always happy to be with you guys. You know, Matt had a dream, a big one, 5 years ago. He didn't really know where it would lead, but man, the places he's been and the stories he's seen. Hope you have a big dream of your own. Go run it down. So long.